I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we'll talk about the upcoming fall television season, and we'll talk with my old friend and colleague, newsman Ted Koppel. He just won a Lifetime Achievement Award. But first, we want to continue our coverage of events in Jena, Louisiana. That's the town that's been at the center of a civil rights battle. Last week, thousands of marchers there protested the treatment of six black teenagers who have been charged in an assault on a white student. Protesters feel that whites who've been involved in racial incidents there have been treated far more leniently. The fight has now moved to Capitol Hill. In a moment, we'll talk with the chairperson of the Congressional Black Caucus. But first, we want to hear about what's been going on in Jena since the march. We turn to Howard Witt. He is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. He's been covering this story from the beginning. Howard, welcome.
Hello.
Lots of developments since the protest last week. I wanted to start with the case of Michael Bell. He's the only one of the Jena Six to be tried in the case. His conviction for assaulting Justin Barker, the white student, was overturned. The appeals court saying he shouldn't have been tried as an adult, but he remains in an adult jail. Why is that?
Well, he's still jailed because the judge who has jurisdiction over the case, who's the one who heard the original case, has decided that he should not be freed. And the judge, that same judge in this small town, hears all the cases, so he sits in juvenile court as well as the adult court. Basically, because he still has a juvenile charge hanging over his head, a conspiracy charge in relation to this attack on the white student, the judge has declined to release him.
What is next? Is there a juvenile court date? Is there a bail rehearing? What's the next step?
Well, two things can happen. First of all, the local district attorney who originally prosecuted him has the option to refile the charges as an adult. If he picks a particular kind of charge, he could file again as an adult, or he can pursue the case in juvenile court. In addition, the DA has said he's going to appeal the decision of the appeals court reversing the conviction, so that's still up in the air. Bell's defense attorneys are very likely to now appeal this denial of his release to the appeals court. So he still could get released if the appeals court decides to reverse that decision as well.
Is there any effort being made to change the venue?
They tried a motion to recuse the judge, and they had a visiting judge come in to hear that motion, but that motion, too, was denied. I know the other defendants are all vigorously pursuing a change of venue before they actually come to trial.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the sort of the bigger issues sort of in the town. As we've talked about, there are thousands of protesters there last week, and now, as you've written, there seems to be a backlash brewing. Tell me about that.
What we've seen now is a pretty strong backlash from white supremacists and neo-Nazi groups. No sooner did the marchers leave last week than a neo-Nazi website posted what they thought were home addresses and telephone numbers for many of these six defendants and their families. It turns out that a number of those phone numbers were wrong or disconnected, and many of the addresses aren't right either. But the point is that they're trying to expose them to some kind of further harassment. And in fact, this neo-Nazi website made it clear in no uncertain terms they were actually urging their followers to go, quote, drag them out of their houses, close quote. This then occasioned an investigation from the Justice Department, the FBI, and also the state police in Louisiana. The local sheriff's office stepped up patrols around the homes of these six defendants to try to make sure nothing actually happens to them. And perhaps the most unusual development was one particular white supremacist, a man named Richard Barrett, actually went down to Jena the day before the rally and extracted interviews, or conducted interviews, if you will, with the town's mayor and also with the Barker family, with Justin Barker and his parents. And he got them both to basically endorse his beliefs about white supremacy. And the mayor, in fact, was quoted by this fellow Barrett on his website as saying that he thanked Barrett and others for their moral support. So this then a lot of people, you know, reacted to and thought it was pretty untoward.
Any reaction to that? Because Richard Barrett, who is the group which they call themselves a nationalist movement, of course other people consider them white supremacists. Richard Barrett talked to Farai Chidea, my NPR colleague, on her program News and Notes, and she then got about his interview. He, of course, says that his interview is accurate. And then she got a response from the mayor. He did not speak on the program, but he issued her an email written response saying that he didn't know he was being interviewed and that he didn't want his town associated with this, a white supremacist or any white supremacist
right.
organization. I wanted to ask, what are you hearing from folks in Jena? Do they believe?
Yeah, I saw the mayor's statement about that, and you know that certainly is his claim. It's the same claim that the Barkers made, that they didn't know who this guy was. But Barrett says that, you know, he invited the Barkers to look over all of his materials, to look at his website, and they invited him to stay overnight at their house and eat dinner with them and spend the night. So I find it a little hard to believe that they couldn't understand who this guy was. But nevertheless, this only adds to this tremendous chasm that's in that town between whites and blacks, as far as just the whole perceptions. The whites continue to insist there's nothing wrong in our town. Everybody's, this is a normal town. Everybody is nice to each other. And why is the media twisting this? And, of course, black folks from inside and outside the town perceive something pretty different.
Howard Witt is the Southwest Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. He joined us from his home office in Houston. Howard, thanks so much for keeping us up to date.
My pleasure.